Firstly, I'd like to wish a very happy Thanksgiving this week to all of you, your families. If you're traveling, safe travels. I know some families have already begun, but have a blessed and joy-filled time together as a family this Thursday. If you wish, we'll have our 8 o'clock Mass will be at 9 o'clock, so we'll still have our 6:30 Mass for those who want to get up early on Thanksgiving Day. But the 8 o'clock Mass will be moved to 9 o'clock, hopefully allowing a lot more people to participate and then go home and get to work in the kitchen and on whatever festive beverages you choose to celebrate on Thursday. So Thursday Mass at 9 o'clock. This past week, as some of you know, I had a wonderful opportunity to make a pilgrimage to the Cathedral of College Football at Notre Dame Stadium. And what was absolutely beautiful is there's all types of game day rituals that day. It's been many, many years since I had gone. I grew up as a Notre Dame fan, as you all know, but as a small boy, it was Dad's team, my dad's team. He grew up as a farm boy southwest of Wichita, as a Catholic, and who else do you love but Fighting Irish? I suppose K-State, perhaps. But lucky me, I inherited this wonderful tradition upon my shoulders of a Notre Dame fan. We went going to many games throughout my childhood, starting in seventh grade, went every single year. Many times, once I got to college seminary, as it was perhaps an hour and a half, 2 hours, depending on the traffic, to South Bend from Mundelein Seminary. So it was quite a Saturday trip at that time. And this was the first opportunity I had to go, or that I made to go, since being back as a priest in 5 years. So it was a wonderful time for me, great excitement, exhilaration in myself, especially this year particularly. But my parents got to go with me. And of course, they're the origin of this story, this insane, absurd fandom, as it always is the case with football. They're the reason, my father is the reason for this insane devotion, this irrational attachment. And we got to go back together. It had been even longer for him. And my father, as some of you know, he can't see well. He's not in the best of health. He's stable, thanks be to God. Had his struggles over the years, but he has a very difficult time seeing. He does okay at home, if it's a familiar place, but he doesn't see well. So at every single turn, you have to be describing very clearly what's happening. If someone sticks out their hand to shake his hand, you have to discreetly nudge his arm, tell him where the curves are, the cracks, all of those things. You have to tell him. So during the game, I was yelling, of course, and my voice is still recovering for 5 solid hours, but cheering throughout the day, yelling, giving my own commentary to my dad next to me, describing the formations, what was happening. After there was some exciting play, after I was finished yelling, I would then turn to my dad and say what had just happened. And it was a beautiful time to share in that enthusiasm with him, with my father, a great joy. But at one particular moment that day, as is the custom, the game day tradition, the rituals at Notre Dame, is the players go to Mass together. They're all in their suits. And then after they finish Mass, they walk together into the locker room to prepare for the great challenge ahead at a home game. And so the fans, of course, all line the sidewalks from the port of the basilica to the locker room, and they cheer for them the whole way. And so we had strategically positioned ourselves close to the basilica, figuring it would be more exciting to cheer for them right at the very beginning than when even they got tired of hearing the cheers. So we lined up towards the beginning, right by the basilica, and then they come by, Marcus Freeman, the head coach, Jack Kaiser, all of these guys, these studs that we have looked up to and admired as Notre Dame fans. And I'm cheering for them, and I'm yelling their names out, cheering for them by name, so that my father knows who he's cheering for, and he's able to participate. And it was a wonderful moment. My father and I, participating together, caught up in this moment, this great, exciting moment. And my mother, as a mother is inclined to do, particularly with her feminine beauty, she's standing behind us. I'm here on the right, my dad is on the left, that way I can have a better, clearer image of who's coming and give my dad an insight into who it is. We're laughing, smiling, rejoicing in the moment. And what is my mother doing but observing the face of my father? That's what captured her attention. That's what captured her heart. And she told me after the fact, she was starting to tear up, seeing the way my dad was smiling and laughing in the moment, because again, he doesn't have the freedom or the capacity oftentimes to be absorbed and caught up and lost in the joy of a moment. We were there together, and she's trying to take a video, and of course, not of the players, that's the beautiful thing. But as her tears are starting to well up in her face, she doesn't see as clearly in her fingers over the camera picture. So much for this wonderful video of the players, the team walking by. But she managed to get a picture at the end of me turned towards my father, cheering with a big grin and laughter on my face, and my dad, the same thing. And it struck me in that moment as I saw that beautiful picture of my father, this beautiful perspective of my mother who saw the moment inside of a moment. What a beautiful image that we celebrate today for Christ the King. He is the one in whom we rejoice. He is the cause of our joy. His presence, his victory, his fighting for us is the cause of our joy. His presence produces joy. And yes, it is a wonderful thing on a natural level to have our teams to cheer for, to take pride in Notre Dame football, this ritual of my family that's been handed on to me, to have our teams. Now, I suppose if it was Michigan or Ohio State or some other team like that, it might not be the same case. But it's a wonderful thing to have these natural enthusiasms, these joys that bring us together in their right place, in their proper order. But it is he in whom we rejoice, in whom we delight, in whom we find peace, and in whom we take refuge. Christ the King. A beautiful culmination, a crowning feast of this entire liturgical year. For next Sunday, we will celebrate the first Sunday of Advent, the first Sunday of the liturgical year, in which we cry out with all of the church throughout all of the ages, come, Lord Jesus. Adveniat regnum tuum, thy kingdom come. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come. And here we are today on this last Sunday, rejoicing in the fact of his kingship, which has no end, whose reign hath no end. Jesus, 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 the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, that the church might be abundantly clear what is the first and foremost symbol that is shown forth into the world, that is championed in, that is delighted in, whose name is the Lord. A beautiful moment for us today to rejoice in his kingship. To rejoice in his kingship. Not only does the church throughout the whole year march around, dance around, stand on the sidewalks around the action of Jesus Christ and applaud in his victory, but the life of the saints likewise are a different reflection of this same joy, this same enthusiasm, this same salvation. The saints that are able to give up their lives with arms extended in front of a firing squad and able to shout these words, Viva Cristo Rey, long live Christ the King, with joy in their hearts, rejoicing in his presence, rejoicing in his victory, dancing in his love and in his mercy, even under the oppression of tyrannical regimes. And my brothers and sisters, today we get to rejoice in the fact that his reign is not tyrannical. His authority and his commands are not oppressive. They are liberating. They are liberating, and they produce joy and peace and freedom unimaginable. It is his kingship that gives us the capacity to be free to enter into every single moment, whether it be joyful or sorrowful, held securely in his hand. And we can listen to his voice. We can listen to his voice to hear his truth, say all kinds of things. Not you are my slave, but you are my beloved. This is the name that I have given to you. This is the name that I have created out of you. Restoring you to beauty. Restoring you in love. Restoring you in mercy. Because you are my delight. You are my chosen. You are my adopted one. You are my daughter. You are my son. What a great king we have. And unlike that moment at Notre Dame Stadium, as wonderful as it was, those players didn't care that it was me and my father particularly. There were many people that could have easily replaced us with their enthusiasm, and that would have been no different to these players. They received this applause, this jubilation, these shouts of joy. But my brothers and sisters, the presence of our good King is inclined towards us. Mystery of mysteries, that he is robed in splendor as we sang in our responsorial psalm, for you, for me, that we might be bathed in glory, that we might be healed, that we too might have faces that shine like Moses as he came down from the mountain, and we come down from the mountain today. We dance in his presence, we kneel in his presence, we cry out in his presence, and we rejoice in his presence. All of these beautiful things. He is girt with strength, we sang. Girt with strength to fight on your behalf. Yes, concretely, on those little monsters that hide in the closets of our life, on the peripheries of our consciousness, all of those things that seem to threaten our joy and our peace. Yes, he has set his face against those things. For this I have come, he has said, that he might make foundations secure, foundations that we might stand upon, not to crush us, but that we might stand firm upon the foundation of his law, of his kingship, of his beauty, of his command. What a good king we have, my brothers and sisters. And what great reason we have to rejoice today, as in every single moment in the life of a Christian, saturated in his presence. And we have reason to laugh and to hope, even in the face of tragedy, even in the face of the cross. For it is the foundation upon which our salvation breaks forth. And for this he has come. And so let us cry out with joy on this holy day. Cry out with eager longing next week as we begin the season of Advent. Time and time as it turns and makes itself new and tires itself out. Let us cry out with a renewed enthusiasm, a renewed joy in his presence. Long live Christ the King.